in a second. We're gonna welcome back. Welcome back to CTC. I know y'all seeing me pretty early. I just went live last night, and I'm here again today to give you the week 8 weekday previews. So before I get into that, I would like to ask if you leave a like, comment, subscribe. If you like the content on this show or the content on this network. Now, on this network, we have 5 shows: CTC, my show, College Talk, Carl Talking College. We got the main show featuring Joe, Tomo, and Dave. We got BWT, Baseball with Teddy, obviously featuring Teddy. We got FFC, Fantasy Football with Coach Coons, where he gives you fantasy football advice, starts, sits, heroes, busts, things of that nature. And we finally, lastly, but not least, we got the Joe Jordan Show, where he is on his own, just talks about topics that he wants to talk about, whether it's his favorite team, a hot sports topic, things like that. I'm pretty sure we're going to have a Joe Jordan Show about this victory that the Commanders had yesterday. Speaking of the main show featuring Joe, Tomo, and Dave, they will be live after my show at 7 o'clock, so make sure you tune into that. But other than that, man, let's get right into this week 8 recap. I know what you're thinking, Carl. You normally do poll talks before you get into previews. You think you do poll talk before previews. But since I went live late last night, I was able to get into the poll talk late last night. Shout out my boy Cardo for being in attendance. What up, Cardo? Big game tonight for y'all. I will be watching, and you know why. But I ain't praying for nobody downfall. I'm just, you know, I'm watching. But let's get into it. So we got 8 games to recap. To preview. We got 8 games to preview for this weekday. We have to start with Middle Tennessee at Liberty. Liberty still undefeated after beating Jack State last week. So if you don't know how my previews work, I give keys for each team to win the game. After I give my keys, I give my winner, and I give a slight reason why I picked them to win the game. So let's get into it. First game, Tuesday, 7 o'clock on CBSN, CBS Sports Network, Middle Tennessee State at Liberty. Middle Tennessee State coming off a win last week against Louisiana Tech for the second of the year. Liberty undefeated, I believe, at 6-0. So for Middle Tennessee State, they are giving up 135.6 rush yards per game. Liberty averaged 253.5 rush yards a game. Appreciate it. Shout out my boy J-Mo. Appreciate it. So Liberty averaged 253.5 rush yards a game with Quinn Cooley, Caden Salter, and those guys. So Middle Tennessee is going to have to find a way to stop the run. Trey Flewellen is back for a full game. Trey Flewellen came back last week after the targeting call 2 weeks ago, came back against Middle Tennessee State in the second half, and immediately made an impact, had an interception while Louisiana Tech was driving. Trey Flewellen, the best defender on this Middle Tennessee State team. He has to be a ball hawk again, especially against this Liberty team. He has to be everywhere, which he normally is. Nick Vadiato, no interceptions. He had none last week. They got the W. Have to hit explosive plays. They had one to Elijah Metcalf. Again, very questionable, but it counted. They had one, I think. Yeah, they had one down the sideline. Tight end dropped one down the sideline. They have to hit these explosive plays against Liberty because Liberty's going to come out and they're going to score. You talking about Tomo? Oh, wait. The camera always throw me off. But, yeah. Anyway. And they also are giving up 263 passing yards a game, which Liberty averaged 225.5 passing yards a game. Now, with that stat, I think the more important one is the amount of rushing yards they're giving up because Liberty is going to run the football. They pass when they have to, but they want to establish the run. Jamie Chadwell coming over from Coastal, he's running the same thing. He wants to establish the run there. Now, for Liberty, Liberty averaged 479 yards per game, while Middle Tennessee State is giving up 398.6 yards per game. So they just got to do what they do against Middle Tennessee State. Quinn Cooley, he has to go off again. He made my major performances last week. Had 28 carries for 163 yards and 2 touchdowns. So let's just keep feeding Quinn Cooley. CJ Daniels and Trey Sibley will be huge on the outside trying to make big plays. It was Trey Sibley's turn last week. CJ Daniels turned 2 weeks ago against Sam Houston State. See whose turn it is this week. And avoid Trey Flewellen. Like I said, Trey Flewellen, he's a ball hawk. He's a safety that he's everywhere. Made an impact last week as soon as he came back. So try to avoid Trey Flewellen. And lastly, Caden Salter, Kate Solter and his Liberty offense was 8 of 15 on third down and 3 for 3 on fourth down. Can they sustain that conversion percentage 100% on fourth down, above 50% on third down? Can they maintain that? But with all that being said, I'm going to go with Liberty here. Middle Tennessee State, great win last week. Great story. Like I said, I've always said this, they play better than their record currently at 2-5. But Liberty is just probably the better – no, not probably. Liberty is the better team in this game. Liberty attacks Middle Tennessee State's weakness. And Liberty might be the best team in Conference USA. So, at home, give me Liberty. Now, for the next game, we have Western Kentucky at Jack State, my beloved Jack State team, man. I've been rooting for them all year. Now sitting at 5-2, Western Kentucky at 4-2. That game, you can catch it Tuesday, 7:30 on ESPNU. Now, for Western Kentucky, Austin Reed will have to open up the run. So, Western Kentucky kind of works backwards in terms of logical NFL. I mean, not NFL, logical football. Like, you normally run to set up the pass, but they are so good at passing the ball. They kind of, like, pass to set up the run. So, Austin Reed will be huge in that. Have to stop the run. They give up 194 yards per game. And that is what Jack State wants to do. Jack State wants to establish the run. They want to run the ball down the field. And that's what they want to do. That's how they want to attack. So they got to find a way to stop it. Make Jack State one-dimensional. So you got to make them pass it. Jack State only averages 158.6 passing yards a game. Make them pass. Get them behind the chains. Now, for Malachi Corley, he has to have a big game, which he normally does. He's normally an integral part of this Western Kentucky passing attack. So he just has to keep doing what he does there. And can they force an interception? Because Western Kentucky has 8 interceptions on the year as a defense. Can they force the interception? Now for Jack State, who's going to be the guy at quarterback? And I just realized I missed a key. I didn't write one down. So we'll come up with one on the fly. Who is going to be? Yep, definitely missed one. Jack State, who's going to be the guy quarterback? We saw Zion Webb get hurt. Logan Smothers come in, didn't play great, but didn't play bad, in my opinion. But then they went from Logan Smothers to Ashton Fry. And Ashton Fry actually looked really good throwing the football. Missed a couple throws that he should have probably hit. But he actually did look good coming into the game. Led 2 drives. It was his late game, and they were forced to go for it, and they didn't get it. So who's going to be the guy to start tomorrow? Have to get to Austin Reed. The defense has 24 sacks led by Chris Hardy. Can they turn Austin Reed over? They have 10 interceptions on the year, this Jack State defense. And Malik Jackson has to run wild to open up the pass. Like I said, Jack State loves to run the ball. They don't do well passing the ball this year. They haven't had a consistent quarterback all year. They want to run the rock. They want to stay ahead of the chains and then use a little play action and possibly open up the pass game. And my last, off the top, I'm going to just go with the last key. Chris Perry is going to have to be used as a deep threat, as an intermediate threat. Chris Perry is going to have to be able to get open to create things. If they can get the run game going, he has to get going himself. But with that being said, I didn't even pick a winner because it was hard for me to pick a winner. And it still is hard for me to pick a winner. I'm trying not to let my fandom of Jack State get in the way of me picking Jack State at home. Coming off of a gruesome loss to Liberty. But I just see that Western Kentucky can be had. So I am going to roll with Jack State. I think Rich Rod is going to have his offense on fire. I think he liked what he saw out of Ashton Fry. I think it's kind of like a repeat of what UTEP did last week. UTEP liked what they saw out of Kay McConnell, who I will bring up next. And they said after that one drive, they found out, they figured he could run the offense. And he led them to a dub, an elusive W that they was trying to get for a while. So I'm going to go with Jack State. I think they turn it over to Ashton Fry, and I think he has a good game. So I'm going to go with Jack State. Moving on to our last game Tuesday at 7:30 on ESPN2. We have Southern Mississippi at Southern Alabama. Now, for Southern Mississippi, they have to establish Frank Gore Jr. Yes, the Frank Gore himself, his son plays for Southern Mississippi. 397 yards and 4 touchdowns on the year. Billy Wiles has to stop the interceptions. He has 5 interceptions on the year, and he has 4 games with at least 1 out of 6. So he has to stop his interceptions. Jacorius Caston and Latrell Jones will be huge at wide receiver, the 2 elite receivers on the team. We'll have to make it a low-scoring game. I feel like if they somehow linger, hang around, make it a low-scoring game, they'll have a shot to win it at the end. And they have to stop the run. Southern Alabama averages 157.7 rushing yards a game. while Southern Mississippi is giving up 188.2 rushing yards a game. So you have to find some run defense in this game. Now for Southern Alabama, LaDainian Webb, they need to run him early and often. He has 476 yards on the year so far and 8 touchdowns. Force Southern Mississippi to score points. If Southern Alabama come out, score, I don't think Southern Mississippi can match that, especially Southern Alabama actually has a pretty good defense. So I don't think they can match it. Carter Bradley, no interceptions. He also has 5 interceptions, but he has 2 games with 2 interceptions. He has 3 and he has 5 games. He's thrown picks in 3 of them, but he has 2 games where he's thrown 2, no interceptions. Colin Lacey will be huge. He has 723 yards on the year with 6 touchdowns. He'll be huge for Carter Bradley. And make Billy Wiles beat you. Billy Wiles, I don't think he's going to have he's the type of guy that can beat you in a shootout. So with that being said, I'm going to go with Southern Alabama winning by multiple touchdowns. That defense of Southern Alabama is stingy. It's pretty good. Matched with Carter Bradley and Colin Lacey and LaDainian Webb. I think it's a little too much for Southern Mississippi at home. So give me Southern Alabama. Moving on, we go to Wednesday. We got FIU at Sam Houston State, still looking for its first win. Wednesday, 7 o'clock on CBSN, CBS Sports Network. For FIU, they have to build on giving up only 3 points in the second half. Yes, I know they lost that game. I know they lost that game last week to this is a college show, Dino. Get that up out of here. I know that they lost last week to UTEP, but they gave up most of their points against UTEP in the first quarter. They gave up only 3 points in the second half against UTEP. They gave up 3 in the third, 21 in the first. So they got to hang their hat on that they only gave up 3 in the second half. Kewon Jenkins flushed last week's performance. He didn't necessarily play that great last week. Get a lot of turnover on downs, missed throws. He didn't play great last week. Have to flush it. Win the turnover battle. Kewon Jenkins now has 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions on the year. Keegan Schumacher, I believe, has 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions on the year. FIU has to win that turnover battle. Have to defend Noah Smith and Mark Phillips, the top 2 receivers for Sam Houston State. Noah Smith was the one that scored the 2 touchdowns late in the game for Sam Houston State last week. So you got to defend them. Can't have them beat you like Kelly Akari beat you last week. Kelly Akari, again, major performance last week. 8 catches, 223 yards, and 2 touchdowns for UTEP against FIU. Cannot have that happen again. And for Sam Houston State, build on second half shutout. They lost 27-13 to New Mexico State last week on the road, but they gave up no points in the second half. All the damage came in the first. The offense just could not come back in the second half. Have to play a complete game. I still yet to see Sam Houston State finish a game. They'll play good in the first half, not good in the second half, or play good in the second half and not good in the first like we got last week. Oh, we just haven't seen them finish, which is what happened against Jack State. They almost had their first win against Jack State. Jack State comes back late, scores a touchdown, scores the 2, scores an OT, wins the game. So we have yet to see them play. I've yet to see them play a complete game. Have to defend Chris Mitchell. Chris Mitchell has been going crazy this year for FIU, FIU's best receiver. Have to establish a run. Sam Houston State only averages 69.3 yards per game on the ground, and they allow 197.9 yards on the ground per game. And they have to start off fast, cannot start off slow. They don't have the offense built to come back. But I got to hold on for a second because shout out my boy Dino. Why is it not showing? There you go. Shout out my boy Dino with the $1.99 donation. He put the eagle emojis and put I said what I said. Hey, Dino, I said what I said. Get the eagles out of here, my boy. Unless you're talking about Eastern Michigan, this is a college show. No, I'm just messing with you. Appreciate the dono, bro. You didn't have to do it, but you did do it, and I appreciate you for doing it, bro. Enjoy the content. I hope you are enjoying the content, but I appreciate the $1.99 dono. And with that being said, though, I know I called my shot last week, and I was wrong, but I'm calling my shot this week. I looked at Sam Houston State's schedule. They play FIU this week. They play, I believe, UTEP next week. If they don't get their first win now, they might go winless their first season in FBS football. I think this is the week they do it. They're at home. FIU is coming off of not a bad loss, but a loss they shouldn't have had. Sam Houston State had the sloppy game. I think they finally figured it out. I thought they finally figured it out last week. They didn't do it. I think this week they do it. Keegan Schumacher slings the ball around a little bit. and Sam Houston State finally gets the W. Now, moving on to our second game Wednesday night. We have New Mexico State, as previously mentioned, at UTEP. Wednesday, 9 o'clock on ESPN2. So, for New Mexico State, Diego Pavia, again, will have to be dynamic. As you can, if you remember, major performance, Diego Pavia had 286 yards on the air for two touchdowns and 115 yards on the ground for one touchdown. Has to remain to be that dynamic. Get Jonathan Brady involved and Trent Hudson, their top two receivers. Trent Hudson had a 78-yard touchdown, if I remember correctly, last week. Jonathan Brady is another guy that they had, probably their better receiver. Then we have to stop Deion Hankins and Torrance Burgess, who got it going against FIU. UTEP is going to love, they would love to just establish the run and pass when necessary and lean on these two backs. Have to run the rock. UTEP gives up 177.3 yards per game. Now they do run the rock with Star Thomas and Watkins and Diego Pavia himself, but they just have to stay consistent against this UTEP defense who gives up 177.3 and force UTEP to pass. UTEP throws eight interceptions this year with all their quarterbacks combined. Like I said earlier, UTEP think they found that guy finally late in the year with Gavin Hardison being hurt, but make them rethink that. Now for UTEP, can Cade McConnell repeat last week? Now I understand you might be saying, Carl, Cade McConnell had 260 yards and Kelly Akari had like 220 of them yards, but he still made good plays. He still found other guys. He still made timely throws. Kelly Akari just was the beneficiary of a lot of them. Can they get the Kelly Akari the ball again? I've been preaching for them to get Kelly Akari the ball, and when they finally do it, he had 223 yards and two touchdowns. Keep feeding that man the rock. Have to find some run defense because, again, Diego Pavia and his run offense, hey, they'll get explosive. Have to lean on Torrance Burgess and Deion Hankins because you're going to have to play clock control. You know, if you lose the clock control battle with New Mexico State, you're going to lose the game. And stop Diego Pavia. Again, major performance. The quarterback. You stop him, you stop a lot with New Mexico State. But with all that being said, I'm going to take New Mexico State on the road. Think that they have the better quarterback in this game. I think that what New Mexico State likes to do is the weakness of UTEP. So they'll exploit that throughout the game. And I don't think UTEP is going to consistently get Kelly Akari the ball. I don't want to say that was an outlier game because Kelly Akari is a really good receiver, especially one of the best receivers in the Conference USA. But I just don't think they'll consistently do it. I don't think they can. I don't know. And I don't have faith yet in these quarterbacks. I've seen five other games compared to the one where I'm like, nah, I got to see it again for these UTEP quarterbacks. So I'm going to go New Mexico State. We move on to Thursday, which will probably, most of y'all will probably watch maybe the first half of this game and then watch Thursday night football with the Jags and the Saints. We got Rice at Tulsa Thursday, 7 o'clock on ESPN2. Now for Rice, JT Daniels. He's played major D1 football. Now he's at a mid-major school. He's played at West Virginia. He's played at SC. I think he was even at Georgia. So JT Daniels will be huge tonight. They average 316.2 passing yards a game. JT Daniels has 15 touchdowns on the year so far. Get the ball to Luke McCaffrey. Yes, this is the brother of Christian McCaffrey, now on the 49ers, wide receiver for Rice, 514 yards and six touchdowns on the year at receiver. Win the turnover battle. He has five interceptions. Tulsa's quarterback, Cardale Williams, has seven interceptions. Have to stop Anthony Watkins, Tulsa's running back, who has 376 yards on the ground and two tuds so far in the year. And they have to stop Marquise Shoulders, who has 283 yards on the ground but five touchdowns on the year for Tulsa. Now for Tulsa, they have to establish the run. They average 194.2 yards a game. Establish the run, play keep away from Rice. Have to force a turnover. They have seven interceptions on the year as a defense. No interceptions from Cardale Williams, who has seven of his own. So it's kind of like Georgia Southern and JMU when I brought up Davis Brennan, that JMU defense. Now, obviously, JMU came away with three interceptions in that game, and Davis Brennan threw two of them to make them now have nine on the year. So it's kind of like that situation. Have to get to JT Daniels because he is the thing that makes this offense go. If you get to him, you throw off his rhythm, you throw off his timing, you throw off a lot that will Rice do with this offense. And you have to focus in on Luke McCaffrey because he's also another key contributor. He's the leading receiver in a pass-happy offense. But with that being said, I think I'm going to go Rice. I think I'm going to go Rice in the situation because this the way they play is more geared to the college style of football. JT Daniels is the more, I hate using the word veteran, but I can't think of another word. So veteran guy in college, played major D1 football. So this is nothing new to him. I'm going to go with Rice to get the dub on the road. So we move on to our last game Thursday night. Again, y'all might watch some of it. Then y'all going to watch probably Thursday night football. Fine by me because I'm going to be doing the same thing. I'm going to have Thursday night football on my TV while I have college games on my phone. But we have JMU, undefeated JMU at Marshall Thursday, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Now, this is probably the game I will be watching. JMU, Jordan McLeod, can he deal like he did Saturday? Like I say, he ran a masterful offense Saturday against Georgia Southern. Established Kalen Black, the running back, was 419 yards on the year in a tug. Have to stop Rasheen Ali, who's the engine for this Marshall offense, 641 yards on the ground with 11 touchdowns. Get the ball to Reggie Brown and Elijah Surratt, the two leading receivers for JMU. I think Elijah Surratt had two tugs this past Saturday. And defense. This defense on the year has 26 sacks at 6-0. That's almost an average of like 4.5 sacks and 10 interceptions on the year. So they average over an interception a game. Marshall, established Rasheen Ali. Like I said, he is the engine for this Marshall offense. Can they exploit JMU, allowing 310.2 passing yards a game? So I think if they can establish the run, that will help exploit that pass defense. Now, have to stop the run because they allow 191.8 yards a game on the ground, which is that's not good. Almost 200 yards on the ground with Kalen Black, with Tyson Lawton. It doesn't help against JMU. JMU has two good running backs that will help. They will gladly exploit that. Have to get to Jordan McLeod. Now, Marshall also has 20 sacks on the year. So that's almost an average of three. It's a little bit above 3.5 sacks a year, which is pretty good in its own right for Marshall. And they have to win the turnover battle. I think Marshall's going to have to force a lot of extra possessions in order to win this game. But with that being said, I think JMU stays undefeated. JMU defense is really good. I think they will not stop Rasheen Ali, but contain him, force the quarterback to have to beat them. And I don't know if he can. I don't know if this quarterback can beat JMU. So, with that being said, I'm going to take JMU in this one. I'm not going to say by multiple touchdowns. I'm not going to say by how much because Marshall is at home. Marshall does have a pretty decent defense itself at times. So, I'm going to take JMU, though. Now, for the last game of this weekday preview, we have SMU at Temple. Friday, 7 o'clock on ESPN2, the long game Friday. SMU, Preston Stone will be huge. He has 14 touchdowns on the year. Jalen Knighton on the ground because Temple allows 206.7 yards per game on the ground. That is horrible. Jalen Knighton is also going to be huge. But SMU like to sling the rock around, so Preston Stone and he's going to be huge too because that's what they like to do. But giving up so many yards, they might change up the game plan. Jordan Curley and Jake Bailey for the two leading receivers for this team. Force Temple to try to win a shootout because I don't think Temple has the team to win a shootout. And they have to get the EJ Warner. SMU defense has 16 sacks on the year. Not bad, not great, but it's decent. And yes, EJ Warner is the son of Kurt Warner, Super Bowl MVP, you know, Hall of Famer. Well, I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame yet, but yes, that Kurt Warner. Now for Temple. Temple, EJ Warner has to outdo Preston Stone because they're going to have to score a lot of points, which I don't think they're going to do, but he's going to have to try to do so. Amari Anderson Jr., who has 394 yards and a tug, will be huge at wide receiver. They have to force turnovers. They have to create extra possessions against SMU because if they don't, SMU is probably going to take the ball and score. Now, they have to find a way to stop the run. Like I said, they give up 206.7 yards on the ground. That's horrible. And they have to make it a low-scoring game because it's just like the Southern Mississippi, Southern Alabama game. If they linger around at home this time, Temple's at home, they might mess around with a shot to win the game. kind of like Sam Houston State almost did with Liberty. They just could not get the ball in the end zone at late game. Fourth and goal, incomplete. C.J. Singleton batted it. I mean, Kobe Singleton swatted it. Sam Houston State loses. With that being said, though, don't see none of that happening. I think SMU takes this again by multiple touchdowns, coming off the win against ECU by three touchdowns. Now, ECU, however, did keep it close throughout the game, as you remember from my recap. And then SMU pulled away late. I don't think Temple does that. I think SMU jumps out fast and just pulls away. They don't keep it close. They don't jump out fast. And then SMU, meaning Temple, brings it back. I think SMU jumps out and they just pull away. Now, with that being said, that is it for all the weekday games I have for y'all. I will be back Wednesday. I don't know what time yet because of work, but I will be back Wednesday to preview the weekend games. Not that many games this week. I also am thinking about doing a Friday segment, just a real small segment, because Michigan State plays Michigan Saturday, 7 or 7:30. I believe at 7:30, actually, at night at Michigan State. So rivalry game, huge rivalry game. I think I'll do, as a Michigan State fan, I think I'll do a standalone segment on that. But with all that being said, enjoy the main show in about 25, 30 minutes featuring Joe, Tomo, and Dave. I'm gone for the night. Oh, hold on, hold on. We got a hater in the building. It's cool, though. I won't lie and say we good this year. We are absolutely looking terrible. But it's a rivalry game. It's a night game. If it's ever to have a great game, Saturday night would be the time to have it. But ignoring Blaze, because he's going to jump on the bandwagon when college basketball come along. As you can see from the AP Top 25, Michigan State ranked third in the country in college basketball to start the year. So, yeah, with that being said, man, enjoy the main show. Enjoy Monday Night Football tonight. And if you're a degenerate like me, good luck on your parlays. And with that being said, I am gone. Peace.
Thank you for staying to the end. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video, subscribe, and also hit that notification button so you can be notified next time we put out a video. If you're listening on any podcast platform, subscribe and hit that notification button, y'all, so you can be notified we put out another podcast audio. And last but not least, hit that share button. No matter what you're listening to or watching it, hit that share button and send it to somebody that you know that would love to watch this episode you just listened to. So once again, thank you for staying to the end, and we'll see y'all at the next episode.